Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. You want to start dreaming about a Disney vacation? One of the best ways to do that is to drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. They have so much information on their website. You can look at pictures of the resorts, look at the layouts of the rooms, look at the dining locations. And then while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote with some trip dates, first and second preference for your resorts. And you never know, maybe that next Disney vacation is closer than you thought, because there are some great specials to get down there here in the end of summer and the beginning of fall. And you know what? We're going to talk about a lot of fun things to do down at Walt Disney World. You need to visit right now. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1041 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, for BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. Thanks again for checking in, downloading the show. We're going to have some fun. It's bouncing all over the place. Wrapping up my recent trip to Walt Disney World and sailing with the Disney Cruise Line. And Pam's going to jump in there and share some of her thoughts, because of course she is leaving on a jet plane and 48 hours again to head down. So we got to make sure we talk about this one, because it all gets convoluted when you go every couple of weeks. I mean, it is. It's a tough cross to bear. You know, it's bad. Yes, so I'm just saying.
I'm doing it for the people.
We had to get this done because, we don't want to get our streams crossed with Ghostbusters and everything coming out. Right. So all that good stuff. So anyway, joining me today to talk some Disney. We're going to be all over the place warning you, but hey, you love Disney talk. Here it is. We have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Ricky, you closer to free?
I am closer to free because I'm one weekend away from my Disney trip. So, I mean, we got to get this done before my trip so we can talk about mine.
We're never going to have a topical show on a Friday because we're traveling too much.
This is starting to get really sick, man, you guys. Seriously. but that's okay. It's all good. So, yes, Mike, I am a little bit closer to free.
That's it. The Bodines, baby. They're
coming to the Epcot Beat to the Beat concert series.
Come down to Wyoming.
We've really been talking about how excited she is.
The band that I think of when I think of one-hit wonders is the Bodines. So
it's a party of five.
Party of five.
That's it. Yeah. And so they're going to be there while we're there for the Wine and Dine race weekend.
No,
so,
Not while we're there. They're early in the year.
Well, now I feel robbed. What? I thought that was going to be my weekend jam for the race weekend.
No. Our weekend jam. I'm sorry. Delta Ray. That's our weekend jam.
And that's a Sugar Ray knockoff, maybe?
No.
I don't know. What is it? Does Sugar Ray have a knockoff? I don't know.
They sang a song called Bottom of the River. I don't know. That would make sense with Delta name like Delta Ray. I'm not making it up.
Why would they do that on the weekend where all the racers are there? We need our jams to get pumped up for the Lumiere's challenge first time.
I don't know. I'm mad because Boys to Men is the 7th through the 9th. So we'll literally just miss them probably. So
our listeners wish we've already come to the end of the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that stuff. Pam Forrester's joining us. She's the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. And Pam, let me just throw this in there. Paige is flying out for the big Hannah Bash down at Walt Disney World Sunday morning. But she did tell me earlier in the week, we were out walking in the morning before she had to go to work. And she said, you know what? this is the first trip I'm going to Walt Disney World, and I'm not just going to wear soccer shorts and a t-shirt. I actually kind of have to dress up. So what's up? Just so you know.
They're dressing up?
You know, jean shorts is like dressing up to my daughter. I know. We're weird. I'm just saying.
Wow. You know, Hannah, well, I don't know what Hannah has packed, but I do know the iron was out today. So something happened. I know, right? Because with her and the iron, that doesn't happen very often, but... Yeah, so anyways, I don't know what's going on. I figure at some point she has to be in charge of her own packing, and I'm stepping back. So here's the call I expect to get. Mom, what? Do you have this? Because I forgot to pack it, because that's going to happen.
Yep, pretty much.
Anyways, and I'll be like, yeah, but you'll have to find some way to come over to our resort and get that. So anyways, we'll see.
Got to teach them a lesson. You know, they got to grow up sometime.
I know. I've already gotten a grocery list, apparently, that they want of breakfast items. So, apparently, I'm stopping at the Target.
Yeah. Oh, very nice.
I know.
All right. Well, let's wrap up my recent trip down to Walt Disney World. Again, Pam was there at the same time, so we're going to kind of bounce back and forth. I'm just going basically through my pictures and kind of pointing out some things that I wanted to talk about to hopefully make your next vacation better and just to have a little Disney discussion here on a Friday, because that's always fun in the dead, you know, dog days of summer here. We had a really good meal at San Angel Inn. Again, that's kind of overlooked a lot of times, I think, by Hacienda, but I like the atmosphere. I got the combination plate. I don't know what was on it. It's really dark in there, but it was all really good.
That's always good.
I have no idea
what I'm eating. I think it's good. It tastes fairly good. It could be anything.
Well, if you like Mexican, I mean, it all, you know, I think, you know, the difference between an enchilada and a burrito is just like a slight change in the sauce, I think. I don't know. They're similar. And the food was all good there. The service is good. It's not, you know, it's not one of your cheaper venues. It's probably right down the middle. Not one of your more expensive, but it's a good meal. And I really like the atmosphere of San Angel and being inside with the volcano, the pyramid, the boats going by, kind of a lot of fun. And we were there again with our good friends, the gardeners. So that kind of made it fun to all be there and have a nice meal. Let's see here. So another thing, again, this is going to be all about food, but there was quite a bit of food here as I look at my pictures. We had a breakfast at Kona. And I know a lot of our listeners, Kona is on your radar. You go there a lot. Apparently my family goes there when I'm running a marathon. I had no idea.
Yes, they do.
You were out there suffering, you know, and we were cheering. So we decided we needed to fuel up at Kona while you were finishing up your 26 miles. So I found that out after the race, but we finally got to go there myself for breakfast. And I had the Big Kahuna. I know that everybody gets the Tonga toast there that is, you know, very popular, but I'm allergic to bananas. So, Pam, I know you guys go to Kona quite a bit. Actually, I snapped a picture of you guys around the corner there, a secret picture. But, you know, Kona breakfast, I think, you know, I never had pineapple pancakes. I never had any kind of pancakes other than plain and chocolate chip. But everybody raved about the pineapple pancakes and just kind of the fruits that were mixed in with the pancakes. Everything was good there. But the Big Kahuna really gives you a hearty breakfast, and it was really, really good. I love Kona now.
I'm so surprised that you did not get the thing that is like Eggs Benedict, because that's what I always get. It is the Samoan. It's called the Samoan, and they're poached eggs with hollandaise sauce, and it's over a pulled pork hash. And it is fantastic. It is so, so good. But yeah, everything that we've had at Kona for breakfast has been fantastic. Hannah always gets a Tonga toast. She can't get away from that. Steve usually gets that, what you got, the Big Kahuna, or the macadamia pineapple pancakes. And I always get the Samoan because I have to have an egg in the morning for breakfast. If I don't, like an hour later, I'm hungry again. So anyways.
Weird.
Yeah, I know, right? I have to have some kind of like protein. I can't just have like a bagel or whatever. So anyways, but I love that Samoan, and I highly recommend it to those who like Eggs Benedict because it's so good. So now you'll have to go back and get that one.
That's it. I mean, I was torn. You're right. I was torn because I love Eggs Benedict, but I knew I'd be going on the cruise in a couple days and having that every morning for breakfast. Not that I couldn't have had everything in the Big Kahuna, but I was curious about the pineapple pancakes and I was really hungry. So the Big Kahuna gives you like everything, bacon, sausage, eggs, pancakes. I mean, you get every, it's why it's called the Big Kahuna. It's not the baby Kahuna. It's the big one. So anyway, we went there that morning or that day. We went to the studios in Mallory Road. Rock and Roller Coaster for the very first time. And this would have been worth the cost of the $150 memory maker if I didn't have an annual pass. The picture of her face, the very first time that thing blasts off. And I think a lot of you saw it on Instagram. Oh my gosh, she grabbed my hand and was squeezing it so tight. But there's nothing like that daddy-daughter bonding of, you know, 0 to 60 and 2.8 and getting ready to go through a loop. So, you know, definitely take your kids and scar them for life by riding a high-speed roller coaster.
So will she ride it again at this point?
Maybe. I don't know. She was kind of iffy on it, but maybe.
All right. She was like, I liked it. Do you want to ride again?
No.
No.
I have to ride.
How much did you really like?
I did have to pay her $10 to ride it. I will say that.
I remember.
Did you really bribe her?
Oh, yeah. It was $10.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
But $10. That picture's worth way more than $10.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I didn't say that wasn't legit.
This is a good parent. Tip, Ricky, for someday when you have children. Bribing.
Bribery does wonders. Anyway, so while we're at the studios, one of the new things you can do over there is actually have a meet and greet with Olaf. And this was kind of hidden because even while we were there in the middle of June, in decent crowd, summertime, it's kind of hidden there next. It's where the Sounds Dangerous show used to be. It's kind of to the right of those bathrooms over by the Trials of the Temple, the Star Wars, the training academy. It's to the left of where the Frozen hype, whatever the theater is there. I forget what it's called, where American Idol used to be.
Hyperion Theater.
That's what I thought it was, but for some reason I was thinking that was Disneyland. That's what it's called out there too, right?
It's both, yes.
As I say, okay, anyway. Well, Olaf, I mean, it's a really cool meet and greet. You know, you get to hug Olaf. He wants to hug everybody. Great pictures. Have your camera ready when you go in and get the pictures, not just the pose picture with your group, but get the pictures of your kids and, your significant others meeting Olaf and hugging him right off the bat and stuff. It just, click away, because with digital cameras, you can go back and delete the ones you don't like. But, take 20 or 30 pictures while you're in there is my best advice. Another thing, when we were riding Rock and Roller Coaster that they've added, and they've done these around property with some of the attractions, is that as you're going through the Rock and Roller Coaster queue, when you kind of first come into the room from the outside switchbacks there, there's that room that had all the posters of like Miley Cyrus and Hilary Duff and all that stuff from years gone by. Now they're digital, and actually they have your name as a part of the concert poster. So like when we were going through there, it says, come see Elizabeth live in Lansing. And Elizabeth is Scott's wife and they're from Lansing, Michigan. So it was pulling obviously from the Magic Band, and Mallory had her name as, come to Florissant and, one night only Mallory, rocking the house. And, I think that caught me by surprise. And I think that's a good way of using this technology, because everybody was impressed. Everybody was talking about it in the line. And you know what? It does make standing in line a little bit easier. So, Ricky, have you heard about this? Or, what are you hearing?
I've actually seen it in person.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Did you get your name up on there? Mine never comes up. Everybody else's does. I think my Magic Band must be a dud.
I'm not special for that. Mine did show up for It's a Small World, though, so that was good. But I think, I'm going to be honest. I think this is a really good, a good use of the technology for the Magic Bands. B, I also think that this is really smart on Disney's part to do this. Because not just because you'll be talking about it and going, oh my gosh, look how cool my name is. But because, let's be honest, those posters got dated really quickly. So, I think Miley had been up on there for, a good 5 years. And
she
was
next to the Bodine.
Yeah, exactly.
It was before she came in on her wrecking ball.
Yes. And, it was Hannah Montana Miley, not Wrecking Ball Miley. So, there's a little bit of a difference there. I'm just saying, so. It's probably best that they went this route instead of, the Jonas Brothers being up there and they're not a thing anymore. But Nick Jonas is like this huge, star now on his own. And so is Joe. So, yes, I do know the Joe Bros. So it's cool.
Remember when they wanted to change the Rock and Roller Coaster to the Jonas Brothers coaster? That was a rumor for a while.
That was a rumor for a while. That really was. I don't know how I feel about that. But
I can't even name one of their songs. And like, Paige was
obsessed.
I can't
name their old ones. I can name some new ones.
They aren't together anymore.
They're not together anymore, but they are a solo act now. I'm just saying.
Yes.
I know way more about the Jonas Brothers than a grown woman probably should. Let's just put it that way. So
you're that way. You're a stalker. Let's just say it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one of the things I wanted to talk to Pam about was the first night we went over to the studios to see the new Star Wars fireworks. It's not Galaxy in the Sky or Symphony in the Sky. That was the old one. It's a galactic something celebration.
Galactic Spectacular.
Whatever. It's a cool fireworks show with projections. We made the mistake. We got there. Well, actually, no, we didn't make the mistake, Pam, because this was kind of a last minute thing. We were actually, we had an 8 o'clock fast pass for Soarin', did we not? And we did Soarin' the night it opened. And then Pam turns to me and says, "Think we can make Star Wars? It's the first night for that too." I'm like, "Well,
it's I'm an enabler. So.
It's 8:15. Yeah. It's like 8:20. The fireworks don't start till 9:45. Let's roll."
Let's so we go.
so we took advantage of the path between Epcot and the studios and walked it. It was an easy walk. It's always fun to catch up with friends and talk and get over there, but we did not get there early. So Pam, give your thoughts on our first night. Then we'll go back and give advice on really making the most of your Star Wars fireworks experience.
So, I mean, we all really enjoyed the fireworks. I mean, I will say that. But the thing that we discovered is, you know, being frequent Disney World visitors, we're very used to, like, doing other stuff than rolling up on the fireworks by, like, getting in the street and watching them. And we were probably about 3/4 of the way or half the way back the street. Probably we could see the theater. We knew we wanted to see that because of all the projections on there. But what we discovered was, although we could see the theater fine, we could not see the fireworks that were to the right and the left of the theater. The trees blocked that. We saw them kind of through the trees, but that's really about it in terms of the fireworks. So that was kind of disappointing. Like, we could see what was going on, and there's lots of stuff, you know, lots of special effects, lots of effects in the trees and things like that. But it just was kind of disappointing not to be able to see the full effect. And when we saw them later on during the trip, it, you know, it all made sense. It was, you know, like, this is awesome. But yeah.
It was kind of like we were in a spot where if you're standing there on Hollywood Boulevard looking at the Chinese theater, we were a little bit behind the Pluto's neon sign that you see to your left. We were a little bit behind that. And like Pam said, the fireworks were obscured by the trees and by the buildings to our left and right. Because it's a really tight street. It's a lot skinnier than Main Street USA. You might not realize that, but it is, because it's a smaller park and the forced perspective makes it smaller. But what I will say is we did it right later. And what we did was we got there early. So Pam, give advice. Where were we standing and what should people do to really get the most out of it? Because it was night and day in my enjoyment of the show.
It absolutely was. So they put up two towers to kind of help with the projections. I mean, hopefully I'm not ruining anyone's magic here, but to help with some of the special effects, I will say, for the fireworks. And I would want to be not too far behind those towers and then forward of those towers to see the fireworks. So from about the towers forward, that is going to be a great location because you're going to be able to see not only the projections on the theater, but also the fireworks on either site. Now, I'll also say that there was another night that we were there, Hannah and I, and Steve was there too. We got there kind of early. It was about as hot as I could imagine it ever being in my life. It was just one of those nights where the humidity, like, held in everything.
It was close, you could say.
It was close.
It was very close. And I was not feeling standing up there with all those folks. So we went behind Min and Bill's and watched from there, right in front of 50s. And we saw the fireworks. You can't see the projections, but we did see the fireworks, and those were awesome. So that's another place if you don't care about seeing everything.
Yeah, I would say, though, make sure that you at least one time during your trip invest the time to get that great spot there. And, you know, really just kind of stand to the right of the dessert party, where the dessert party's happening. Stand right, you know, near where they are, because of course they're going to have the best view. So you can kind of see that. But the two towers, good place to stand, right in the middle.
Right.
All right. So we did that. Then we went on our cruise. We, you know, had our first part of the trip that we headed off on the Disney Dream 4-night Bahamian cruise. Lots of fun with the Gardeners. And instead of taking the Disney Cruise Line transfers, because we didn't have a car this time, we decided to get together. Scott and I had a little, you know, trick up our sleeve for our families. We rented limousines to take us there and back. And actually, it was cheaper than the Disney Cruise Line transfers. I don't know that I would do it again. It was a decent experience. We had a party bus going over that had like disco lights and neon lights and strobes and all kinds of crazy stuff, a big booming system, but they didn't tell us how to really work the radio. So we only had our choice of like terrestrial stations. And for some reason it only picked up country music. So it was kind of weird, but it was fun riding over there, showing up in a big party bus. You know, all of us, yeah, we're real partiers. But we showed up there. The reason we did that was so we could pick our early port arrival time, because I wanted to get there and, you know, have that at my own, choosing. So we did that. We got there early. We got there about 10 o'clock in the morning and then had to wait. We got on the boat around 11:30, did the lunch thing, had our first night at Animator's Pallet, had a good meal there. Now, we were this sailing was kind of unusual on the first night. We had 14-foot waves in June, which is highly unusual, and a lot of people were feeling it. Now, I know that in the Bahamian cruises, Pam, you usually don't feel much movement, but it calmed down after that. But the captain came on, and because, like, during the show, you could see the curtain moving back and forth, and, you know, wow. It didn't bother me, but it bothered a lot of folks that first night, because, one, you're crossing the Gulf Stream, which is, you'll feel it a little bit, but not much. But they said that they were having, like, crosswinds. It wasn't necessarily like a storm, but the winds were blowing it right, you know, the wrong direction, and at a high rate of speed that was causing these waves. So, Pam, I mean, that I think that's quite unusual. You've sailed just as much as me. We usually don't have waves like 14 feet in the Bahamas.
It's not typical, but I will say, we've been on a cruise recently where we had some high seas actually leaving Port Canaveral too. And I think it really just is a matter of weather. But, you know, it's funny. It never bothers me at all. Like, it puts me to sleep. I'm always like, oh, feel that. Every time I feel some movement, I'm like, oh, it's time to sleep. So anyway.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, a couple of people, you know, Pam didn't feel real well. She kept saying she's going to fall out of her chair in the theater. Now, we were sitting in the balcony, you know, those balconies where you can kind of, a few people get to sit up there if you get there early. We were sitting in some, like, high top chairs, kind of like you would sit in, like, at a bar, those real tall stools. Right. So maybe she did feel like she was going to fall out of her chair. I don't know. I didn't feel like I was going to. Yeah. But I have sea legs, you know, now that I fly and I ride boats, you know.
Oh, now he's a big man, right?
That's exactly
big man
right.
On campus. Yeah, I got sea legs now.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, you know, the captain and I, we settled it. We got the boat settled down and it was good the next day. Anyway, so while we were on Castaway Cay, I was forbidden to do the Castaway Cay 5K by not my doctor, but my wife. So I couldn't
good
do that,
call.
But Paige did
Pam.
It.
Yeah, Paige. The other Pam trumps everything.
Exactly. But Paige did it, and she said, I hate doing that. It's so hot. I'm like, it's June, and it's the Bahamas, and it's running with the sun beating down you. But she likes the opportunity to get the medal and to get the bib and for the experience, because she likes to exercise, but it is really, really hot in the summer. So she did it and had a good time, but she wasn't real happy when I met her at the finish line. I brought her some water and all that. But
that was nice of you, at least.
I bought the six pack, you know, how they walk around with, like, the cooler and the six pack of water.
Yeah.
You know, I gave her half a bottle. No, just kidding.
That's
I
nice.
Her, I
That's
gave her
nice.
A full bottle. But one of the things that we did on Castaway Cay that I had never done, besides eat at Cookies, no, I've always done that. I usually do that two or three times if I can. They have the best food on Cookies. I always get the spicy chicken sandwich. Those that have sailed know what I'm talking about. But they have activities even on the island, like they do on the ship. And one thing that Scott wanted to do, he saw on the Navigator, was that they were having a free throw contest in a place that's called Into Shade. Now, I don't know if anybody has seen Into Shade, what it is. I'd never been there. I'd seen, like, the sign as I walked past, but I'd never gone back there. And what this is, it's a gigantic pavilion that's covered, and it's got three basketball hoops, you know, like 10-foot hoops, just like you would have. But they're kind of like the Papa Shots, kind of like those basketball games you see, like, at an amusement park where the net, you know, feeds the ball back to you. So they had those. They had some. They had a huge Connect Four set. They had shuffleboard. They had three or four pool tables, ping pong tables, foosball, and all this stuff, kind of in an open air, under an open air canopy. Which, Pam, I'd never been over there, but I like this idea because sometimes you just want to get out of the sun, and this is kind of a fun thing to do with your family. It's basically kind of like a rec room. But, out in the open air, but you're out of the sun. I think it's, something that's, you're not going to go there to do this, but it's a value add when you're on your cruise. We had a good time over there.
I think that there's a lot of parts of Castaway Cay that so many people don't have the opportunity to check out and see. And especially people who don't have kids, because there's all those fantastic kids areas. There's the bikes that you can ride over to go to the fire tower. I mean, there's just a lot of places to go and do and to see and all of that. So I think that it's not unusual to have a place you've never been before.
Yeah, I was excited. I mean, it's definitely, if you're into, like, you know, rec games. Like, I was a PE major for a while, so I'm all into, like, ping pong and pool and basketball, you know, shooting free throws. But they did have a contest. But the thing is, we were in a contest against a family from North Carolina. Game over. I mean, these people, this dude was like a, the dad and the two sons, like, he, if they would have lost, I was scared he was going to make his kids run laps around the island. Like, that's how serious they were. I mean, they wanted that, you know, winter medal that, you know, cost 50 cents. But when you see, like, they all had on, like, Tar Heel shirts. I'm like, oh, we're so done, Scott. Like, people from North Carolina don't play when it comes to basketball.
No, they take things a little more serious than
that's what I said. I mean, like, you're from Michigan. Like, Michigan State's always in the Final Four. But, I mean, North Carolina, man, that family, I felt the pressure, so I didn't do my best. But, anyway. So give it a shot.
You choked.
I did. I kind of choked. But I didn't do too bad, considering I'm more of a baseball hockey type person, but. Anyway, one of the other things that was different this time was that you could schedule your princess gathering meet, which is always kind of a on the sea day. Usually you could schedule that online instead of doing that upon arrival on the ship. And you could schedule your time to meet Anna and Elsa before you got on the ship online. So that was new and that worked out pretty well. So, Pam, I don't know what you're hearing about this, but I like being able to schedule as much as possible online so that I don't have to go. Because a lot of times with the cruise, you're going from place to place to place to kind of schedule things for your cruise on embarkation. Usually you scarf down a lunch and then you hit the kids club, hit guest services, go to Paolo, you know, and change things. You know, I think that if Disney Cruise Line could cut down as many of those things as possible, guest satisfaction will go up.
I agree, because you want to spend every moment of your cruise time doing cruise things, not waiting in line to get a ticket to do
so, to do cruise things. Yeah,
right, exactly. So I think it's a great idea. My only concern will be, like with other things that Disney Cruise Line does, they often hold a percentage back for guests who have not made arrangements prior to the cruise. And I think that's a point for guest dissatisfaction, since, you know, there's so many spots still available when you get on. So I think that's something that they should really consider looking at. So
agreed. All right. A couple other things. Actually, speaking of that, one of the things that you have to do upon arrival on the ship is your tastings. And they have, you know, beer tastings, martini tastings, margarita, tequila tastings and so forth. And, you know, we had done this on the podcast cruise. We had done a beer tasting. I don't drink beer, so I signed up, but I just went and just gave mine to other people. I like to hear. I actually am really interested in, like, since I never ever had a drink until I was beyond 30 years old. No kidding, I'd never had a drink of alcohol till then. I like to hear, like, how drinks are made and, like, where it all comes from and the process and all, especially with, like, tequila and margaritas. So I did go down to sign Scott and I up for the tequila tasting. We thought that'd be kind of fun. You know, we'd like to do this. We got there. We were in group two to get on the ship. I mean, group two. We were behind concierge and club platinum guests. One of the very first on the ship. We went and ate lunch really quickly, headed down to guest services to sign up for tequila tasting. They told us it was already sold out. I was like, you know, half the people aren't even on the boat yet. How's this thing sold out? You know? And so I was, you know, I was nice, but I was like, I can't believe that's sold out. You know, they're probably not even at boarding group 40 yet. But he said there's only 10 slots and they've already been taken. So I was like, oh, well, that's kind of a bummer. So I was like, what else do we have to kind of try like this? It's similar to tequila tasting session. He's like, well, there's mixology an hour after that one. So you could do it the same day. I was like, okay, cool. Sign us up for mixology, because we did that on the podcast cruise. And that was kind of interesting. We, you know, you got to get behind the bar. The bartender told you where all the ingredients come from and how you mix them, how you shake them, how much ice to add. You know, it's kind of like a science class. So we signed up for that. Well, let me just tell you, I happened to be walking through the district the day of the tequila tasting, and I noticed on the bar that there were about 22 places set when they told me that they only had 10 slots. So I went up to the bartender and I said, you know, I made some small talk and I said, hey, do you care if my buddy and I get in on this? Like, can we still sign up? He's like, oh yeah, man, just come on down in 15 minutes and you're in. So I was like, cool, we get to do the tequila tasting, because that's kind of fun. And so Scott and I got down there and we did it, and the bartender's asking us, you know, what time's your dinner? And we told him 5:45. He goes, oof, I don't know about that, man. He's like, I don't know you're going to make dinner. I was like, really? I was like, why don't you think I'm going to make dinner? He's like, this is a 3 o'clock tequila tasting. He's like, it's hard. You know, you're going to be tired, basically. So I was like, okay. So, but he did get us like three orders of peanuts, because we hadn't eaten anything yet.
Oh, Oh, no.
So he's like, he tells the assistant bartender, man, we need 3 things of peanuts for these 2 guys. So he's like giving us all these peanuts. He's like, eat these peanuts. This will help you. So anyway, you do the tequila tasting. You try 4 tequilas. I think it was a silver and añejo and a reposado, or I don't know exactly how you say it.
Reposado.
Okay. And also we did one that was kind of injected with coffee, which was kind of interesting. And you do 2 specialty margaritas that they make, like a mango one and kind of a twist on a traditional. And so you get you get really nice tastings there. And between each, they tell you, what's the difference, what to smell, what to look for, and the colors and so forth. I find that stuff interesting. They tell you about the agave plant in Mexico and all that stuff, how they harvest it and all that. So anyway, we kind of walked in on that and had a good time and really enjoyed it. But then an hour later, we were signed up. Actually, by the time this ended, 15 minutes later, we were signed up for mixology, which was in the next bar, the next door one. We were going from the district to Skyline. So we tried to do that. I didn't make it through mixology. I started not feeling well. Scott apparently made it through and took care of all my drinks, as well as everything from the tequila tasting. Scott is the man. But I went back and took a nice nap after that. But, it's kind of interesting. You wouldn't want to do them back-to-back. I learned that. Because I don't even drink outside of cruises, and I'll have an occasional margarita. But, I figure on the ship, you're safe, and it's kind of interesting to do that. Try things that you wouldn't try otherwise. And so I would encourage people to do that. They also have culinary tours. This is one of those things where it's not always just laying in a chair like you think about a cruise or laying on the beach. A lot of times you can do things that you wouldn't do at home, because I don't even know in St. Louis where you would go to try like a mixology class or a tequila tasting. And I'm really into just learning about it, because I never had the experience as a young adult. I'm not there to get drunk, but I think I did get a little buzzed on the tequila
taste. I was going to say, you didn't plan on getting drunk. But
it's amazing how those little bitty shots can really get to you pretty quick. But, I just want to give it a shot, and I find it interesting because I didn't do that
literally
stuff.
Literally, he wanted to give it a shot.
I did. Anyway, so definitely look at your navigator and try those specialty things that you might want to check out. Also kind of interesting, one of the people that was sailing with us on this ship was, they have the DVC mixers and the DVC, things where they'll, you can go and you can get an onboard credit and they tell you about DVC. Well, one of the gentlemen who was running the DVC sales for this particular cruise, he's actually the voice of the monorail. And so Scott got to talk to him at the DVC mixer. He's DVC. And he's like, I want to introduce you to this guy. And his name also was Scott. And so immediately when he introduced me, I was like, that is the voice of the monorail. I could totally hear him saying, por favor, manténganse al lado. And he said that for us, and I cracked up. And I wanted to ask him to record something like that for the podcast, but I didn't want to do that. He's doing his thing. But it was great getting to hear his story. He's a passionate cast member, really believes in Disney, been with the company for 30 years now. And just kind of fell into the voiceover thing where they needed something for a special like corporate private event. And they, know this guy has some pretty decent pipes. They put him in a studio to record some fun stuff for, I think it was like the CEO of a very major company. They were doing a private event and just kind of to read some copy that they were doing like at a roast. And everybody like really loved the way he delivered it. And so they gave him more chances, and now he's the voice of the monorail and the transportation system. So it was pretty cool to get to talk to that guy. Great story.
That's awesome.
Another thing we did was Vanellope's. Now, Pam, have you been on the ship since Vanellope's candy shop has been on board?
I have not.
It's crazy.
I have not.
We spent money there, and I didn't think we would, because the thing is, the prices are really, really reasonable. And they have, you might think, you're on a Disney cruise, you got desserts everywhere. Why are you going to buy candy? Or it's basically kind of like Goofy's Candy Company, but they also have ice cream and what was it called? It wasn't even the sorbets is what they're called. And they have like a race car. You can get 3 scoops for like $5 with a bunch of toppings. And it's themed so awesome. Like even King Candy, there's a big gumball machine where you can actually buy gumballs, but King Candy will pop out every once in a while and say something. And Vanellope's got her car in there and get your picture by it. So definitely it's a value add. You don't have to spend money there, but you can. I enjoyed that. So we got some candy there. I know. I can't believe we bought candy on a cruise. I feel so bad saying that. It's ridiculous. Another thing we did, we were sailing with our friends. We both had veranda staterooms. We asked the stateroom host to pull back the divider between our staterooms, so it doesn't go all the way away, but it comes back probably about 75% of the way, so we could share our verandas between the two, and the girls really liked going back and forth. So if you're traveling with some friends, that's a great opportunity to kind of have more space. Pam, have you ever done that?
Yes, I have, and it is great. It's awesome. It kind of, you know, it makes you feel like you have a much bigger veranda. So, and on BOGP, we're going to have a huge veranda.
Yeah, we are. It's going to be the dance floor on the aft. I'm just saying. So anyway, after the cruise, we headed back in a limo to Animal Kingdom Lodge, checked in again. I think I talked about this on Wednesday. We didn't get checked in until like 4 or 5. It took forever. So I was tired. I kind of sat in the lobby, just chilled out on one of those couches. I know the girls and Scott and Elizabeth and Pam, I think, went down and did some of the enrichment activities. I believe they actually made kind of some enrichment foods for the giraffes that they were going to put out in the savannas later on that evening. So I think they got to do that. And also they earn these beads. The kids can earn beads that go on a bracelet. And this one had an elephant on it because they did a treat for an elephant. And if you stay at the lodge, I think throughout your vacation, you can collect, I think, up to 5 different animals for your bracelet. And, you know, that's kind of cool because, again, I think Animal Kingdom Lodge, as much as any of the resorts, really does a good job of making the lodge a destination for kids, you know, and families. You know, you do the culinary tours at Boma and Jiko. We didn't do that this time, but it's kind of a cool place to be. We had a Savannah room, always a good time. Lots of giraffes outside of our room during this stay. We were on the, I think the giraffe trail. No, I'll have to look. I'll post a picture, but great location. Third floor, so one of the lower floors. But just, I just love Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's beautiful, and when else do you get to see wild animals outside your room? One of the other things I got to do this time for the very first time was Top of the World. Now, Pam, I know that you've done this many times, but man, is that breathtaking from up there or what? I'd never been there.
It's a great view. It really is. You know, I think that it offers, you know, a unique perspective, and it's typically not that busy. I mean, it is kind of busy. But the other place I will suggest is, even for those who aren't dining at California Grill, although that's a great view too, if you aren't dining there, the other place you can go is the fourth floor of the Contemporary. There's an observation deck, and you can see the fireworks from there too.
I will tell you from personal experience, if you ever go up to Top of the World and you order the cake, they give you a piece of cake. This piece of cake, we actually ordered 2 because we were scared we wouldn't be able to share one. This thing is the biggest piece of cake in the history of mankind. It was so big, in fact, that we had the second piece left over after we watched Wishes, and we carried that thing back on the bus. We were offering it to people on a full bus from the Magic Kingdom back to Animal Kingdom Lodge. And people were almost taking us up on it. It was kind of fun.
Well, way to spread the magic.
I'm just saying. Let's see. We went to Ohana and had a breakfast over there. The breakfast with Lilo and Stitch, Mickey and Pluto. I will say the service was subpar for this time. I loved this last time, but we got a late ADR. I think our ADR was at about 11:30, which I think actually on the menu outside the restaurant, it says they stopped serving breakfast at 11. So when I saw that, I was like, I wonder how this works. But the servers were kind of, you could see that as people were leaving, they were starting to break down the tables and kind of clear things and get it shut down for your reset for dinner. And I was really, really disappointed. This is the one disappointment I had on this trip with the service at Ohana Breakfast. And I think maybe it was because we had such a late ADR. But for what you're paying, it shouldn't matter. I mean, I know, Pam, you run into this from time to time, but you know, I still got great pictures with the characters. I ended up having a good meal, but the service was glacially slow. So I don't know what you do about that.
It's really a challenge. And I will say we ran into something like this. It was our actual anniversary, and they knew this at Yachtsman. We were dining at Yachtsman that night, and they put us in this kind of corner, this like alcove with 4 other families who all had small children. Now, I have nothing against small children. I mean, totally fine with that. But I just felt like it kind of doesn't seem like the spot to put an anniversary couple, does it? Just like, happy anniversary! Enjoy your time with these children. And I scanned the restaurant. There were lots of places they could have put us. So, I mean, it was just an odd thing. We were just all around, like, you know, we typically really enjoy Yachtsman, and it was just kind of a, at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Like you always have those things, and it wasn't anything that our server could have done. Our server was really nice, but that was really a hostessing issue that I felt like they should be better than. I mean, this is Disney. They bring people in and out of these, you know, these spots all the time. I just feel like that's something that they should have addressed. And I, you know, you do run into it even at Disney. So
yeah, it's one of those things. I think that, you know, with as many dining experiences we've had, you know, you're bound to have something like that happen. I wasn't upset. I was disappointed because you are paying a lot of money and you expect the best, you know, every time. But, you know, it's going to happen. So no big deal. Yeah. You know, I know it is a big deal, but you just got to, you know, everything isn't going to be perfect. Another thing we got to experience because of Scott, you know, being DVC, was that we went up into the DVC member lounge in the Imagination Pavilion. Now, Pam, have you been up there?
I have.
That was pretty neat up there. I mean, I like the, you know, you're inside of the big glass triangle or pyramid there and lots of charging ports. There was a guy going around with a cart offering snacks like cookies and Fritos chips and stuff like that. They have a, oh, I hate those soda machines though. Those, what do they call Free Choice or
what are they?
What are they? Freestyle. Those things are annoying because, like, it takes somebody 12 minutes to make one soda, like specialty soda. Like, just give me the spouts. You know, like, I'm more for speed when it comes right to soda. But, I mean, they're up there.
And yours always tastes like whatever the person in front of you
has. Yes, yes. I was like, oh, just make the soda. I'm thirsty, you know, because you got a kid like, I'm going to make a diet cherry orange lemon Sprite Coke. You know, it's like, come on, kid, get out of the way. But anyway, you know, they have that up there. It's a great place to kind of chill out, recharge your devices, grab a snack, grab a soda. I thought it was well done. I think DVC members need more stuff like this. Pam, you are DVC, so what are your thoughts on places like this? I think this is well done.
I think that, you know, there are lots of opportunities to improve their DVC service or that experience in general, and this is a step in the right direction. I can't say, though, that I don't miss what used to be up there. And that's all I could think about as I looked around there. I was like, aw, I used to love when this was, you know, the when you used to walk up there and do all the cool, you know, activities. It used to be up there in the Imagination Pavilion. I can't wait until they take that Imagination Pavilion and do something really cool with it. I keep hoping that it'll happen. And one of these days it's got to happen, right?
Yeah, well, we're hoping so because, I mean, Disney is known for imagination. That's basically the, you know, the footprint of the company. It's all about imagination and creativity, yet the pavilion that celebrates imagination is woefully lacking.
It's the most unimaginative pavilion of all.
It is. All right, well, we're getting a little long here, so let's kind of move this along and wrap it up. But let's talk about Frozen Ever After, because we were there a couple days after it opened. You know, at least I was on the cruise when it opened. You know, I've talked about this on Wedway Now over with Matt Parrish. And I think that it is better than Maelstrom. It is going through some growing pains right now currently, but the day we were there, it wasn't a big deal. We had fast passes and everything was up and running. But this is, again, low capacity. But, you know, once you get up there to ride it, I liked it. I mean, there's a little bit of extra track. It's well done. The audio animatronics are awesome. The track is very similar to Maelstrom. You get to go backwards. You don't get to go outside like you used to, where the boat would poke outside the pavilion. But it does kind of retell the story of Frozen, and you know, it is what it is. It's a celebration of the movie Frozen. It's for kids. It's a Disney dark ride, but it's a well done dark ride. There's a couple of places my wife said it looked like the ride wasn't complete. There were places, very briefly, where there wasn't a lot going on, especially if like the action was happening on the right and you happened to look left, there would just be a big black wall. But I think she kind of said it reminded her of Little Mermaid at the Magic Kingdom, you know, where there's some spaces where it looks like they could put something, but they didn't, which I thought was a good, you know, good comparison. But I liked Frozen Ever After. Now, would I wait? We're going to do a show in the future coming up here soon about balking times. Like, how long would you wait for attraction X and Y? And where would you walk? Like, when it hits this amount, when would you walk away? I probably wouldn't wait longer than 30 minutes for this ride, but I would wait a half an hour. So, Pam, what were your thoughts on Frozen Ever After?
So, I thought in some ways they did a really good job taking a ride that I am super, super familiar with. You know, if you've all these years, you know, that it's been the same, and making it feel new in certain places. Like, I feel like there were some spots where there were a lot of screens surrounding you where it really felt like a different experience. And I thought that the queue was fantastic. I think the indoor part of the queue, they did a really great job with. There were things to keep you entertained. But it was just beautiful, really just beautiful. And I liked that I found myself as I was waiting in line, trying to figure out, okay, how did the queue used to go? And what, you know what I mean? Like, you tried to figure out how the old fits into the new, because you used to kind of be let out in a completely different area than where you get on the attraction. And now you load and unload in the same area, which I think is really interesting. And I felt like in some of the spots, they did give kind of a nod to the buildings that used to be there when you got off of the attraction. Some of those buildings looked a little familiar. But, you know, I think that really they did do a good job in many ways with this attraction. There was just a lot of new things to see. We rode it a few times. I really, really liked it. And I would do it again. I'm not going to wait a long time, but we don't wait a long time for most things. But I, you know, the fact that most of the queue is indoor, I think is a huge, huge plus, because on those hot, hot days, you're going to have some place to wait in comfort. So that's a plus.
Agreed. I mean, I think it's going to kind of fit right in. I mean, I think in a year, people aren't going to have the outrage that they had when they announced this. Once people start settling in and riding it, you just got to realize you're at Walt Disney World. They're a movie company. You know, they're going to get that in there. You just got to, I know Epcot wasn't made for that, but it was still a fun dark ride experience. I enjoyed it. But again, I like the movie. So anyway, of course we had a great trip. I could go on and on. I love talking Disney, and I don't want to talk your ear off today, but one of the things that they were getting ready to debut while we were there, didn't come out quite yet while we were there, is this ingenious idea that Disney has come up with. And I think it's out right now. And Ricky, you can help me out on this. It's a system now for charging your phones. Now, of course, they've gone through a lot of different ways to do this over the years. They've had the charging stations where you just bring your charger from home and you just basically plug it in, places like Space Mountain exit and so forth. And then they've had those like little, they're almost like coffins for your cell phone, where you put them in there and it would charge up and, you know, be red, and then it would turn green and get it back out with like a combination code. But now I think this is the best way to do this. If you've ever seen those little mini kind of cylinders that are basically external batteries that recharge your device, Disney's going to have a system such that, and if I get this wrong, Ricky, please correct me, but I think it's for about $30. You can buy one of these rechargeable batteries. They're about the size, maybe 9 inches long. They can fit in your pocket easily. It comes with a cord, so you can plug it into your phone. And what happens is you're going to buy it fully charged. So if your phone starts to go dead, you buy one of these at a kiosk, and they're going to be all around the theme parks. You plug in your phone, you recharge it. Now, here's the ingenious part, because that's not a big deal. I have a lot of those things, and they're cheap. You can buy them on Amazon. But if it goes dead, like once you charge your phone and then the battery's dead, you could take it to one of these kiosks and return it, and they'll give you a brand new one that's fully charged. So basically, you should never run out of juice on a day during your whole vacation. You can just keep exchanging them for full batteries, and ideally, your device should never run out. So they were getting ready to put this out, but you know, as I was leaving, I'm thinking, man, this is a great idea. So Ricky, what are your thoughts, and what did I mess up on this new system?
No, you know what? You had it pretty much exactly right. And I think it's a really great idea. And the best part, and I was trying to do some research while you were talking, so I don't know if you mentioned it, but the best part is that you can, once your battery goes dead, you can return it to the boxes that they have, if you, you know, around property, and you'll get another one back that's fully charged.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the ability to charge the one that you had, you can, you know, return it and get a new one that's fully charged, which I think is pretty awesome too. So I think it's a great idea. I really like that it's small and it's really portable. And I'm really regretting the fact that I own my own rechargeable battery right now, and I wish I would have had, you know, this, because I think it's fantastic. It's a really great idea. But I'm, you know, not gonna not bring my own battery because I already have one. So, but I do. I think this is a fantastic idea. So.
I think it is too. I
mean, and very necessary too.
Well, I mean, let's face it. It benefits Disney for you to have your device charged, because you're going to be on social media sharing your pictures and videos and all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, just guest satisfaction is happier, I would guess, when people have their devices. You know, I think people get cranky when they, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they don't have their cell phone. I mean, it's just kind of how society is nowadays. But, and I'm definitely in that. I'm not saying everybody else, that's me. But I like the idea that you can always get a fresh one. And then at the end of your trip, basically, you know, you own the thing, so you can take it home. They give you the recharging cord. So then it's just like one you would buy on Amazon. You can recharge it at your house and use it from home too. So Pam, I love this idea, because even though I'm like Ricky, I bring my own external batteries, this is one less thing to have to kind of have a panic about. Did I forget it that day? Because $30 is a fair, I think it's fair because basically for the entire trip, you're juiced up.
I think so. I think it'll be something that is really, it's the convenience factor, right? So could you buy a portable charger that it would do the same job and is less expensive? Yes, you could. But a lot of people don't, you know, aren't used to traveling, don't have a system where you get back to the room, you plug it, you know, you plug the charger and you plug the phone and you plug everything else in. And this is a way to just deal with that issue. It's one less thing to have to think about when you're on vacation. And I think that's always a good thing, especially when really using the MDE system, the My Disney Experience app and system requires you to use that smartphone every now and then. So you might have it all out more often than you would on a typical vacation. So I like it.
Great point. Oh, and one other thing on that, and then we're going to get out of here because we know you're ready for your weekend. You know, that fourth rolling fast pass now being available on your smartphone is, it's incredible. One night, I think we used 9 fast passes because we just kept using them. And one of the hacks with this is that you don't have to wait until like you walk out of Pirates of the Caribbean to schedule your next one. What you do is as soon as you hit that second touch point. So the first one you hit when you, you know, outside of the attraction basically just verifies that you have it. Then when you hit the second touch point, which is closer to the loading of the attraction, as soon as you hit that, usually there's about a 2 to 3 minute wait as you kind of queue up for the next boat or 2 or 3 boats or whatever, you know, roller coaster cars or whatever. During that time, once you hit that second touch point, you can then schedule that next fast pass. So you can actually schedule it before you get on the attraction. And basically by the time you're walking out and walking to the attraction, you're good to go. And that's one thing that Scott and I are really getting good at towards the end. Scott kind of pointed this out to me, but Ricky, you agree that's kind of a hack to save 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there.
Absolutely. And I've started doing it. So that's 100% a great tip to utilize. And it does allow you to get fast passes a little bit faster and get in, into attractions that you were already going to get that fast pass for anyway. So I love the addition of adding fast pass plus abilities for the fourth fast pass to the My Disney Experience app. I think it's great. And it was a long time coming.
I agree. So take advantage of that and just make your next trip better. So we are going to get out of here again. We appreciate you hanging with us today as we talked about all kinds of Disney topics, kind of squeezed it in there. But of course, we had a great summer trip and looking forward to Wine and Dine weekend. It's going to be a great time down at Walt Disney World again. Today's episode, as always, here on a Friday, brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to book your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or even maybe a once-in-a-lifetime adventures by Disney, drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all of the great services they offer. They have teams of professional agents that are going to work with you one-on-one to make sure you get the most out of that next Disney destination, Disney vacation. So check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameripriseadvisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Again, the 12-hour live show is going to come your way. It's going to benefit Give Kids the World, and we're going to do that on Sunday, July 31st from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. So please plan to join us again Sunday, July 31st, 12 hours of live Be Our Guest podcast. Like it or not, it's coming your way here in a couple of weeks. We hope you'll join us. Do give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike. Join the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And if you don't mind, we'd love a rating and a review on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Google Play Store. If you could do that this weekend, we'd really, really appreciate that. All right, time to get out of here and let's get on with your weekend. Thank you so much for checking in and hope you enjoyed today's show. Drop by the Facebook group and let us know what you thought. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.